But just as this miracle that we really participated in down in Juarez and with the folks in Anapra and this family, think about it in relation to this miracle in Cana. What happened at this wedding? And what happened in this time of mission in Christ's life as he revealed his glory and does so every day in some of the basic everyday things that occur. The end of a loaf of bread, a bottle of clean water, the opportunity to have a relationship with someone that you don't speak the same language of. Those are small and reminding miracles that God is in our lives every day, in all everything that we do. So before we hear the word read and proclaimed, let us go to God in prayer with the prayer of illumination. Will you say that with me? Gracious God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, quicken our understanding that we may receive the testimony of Scripture and believe in the signs that reveal your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. It's found on page 1648 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Thinking they were on my head. Jesus changes water into wine. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus' first sign is turning water into wine at a wedding in Cana. Jesus, Mary, and Jesus' newly called disciples are all in attendance. And then the horror of horrors happens. The host of the wedding reception, they run out of wine. And Mary realizes the problem, and perhaps she can relate as a hostess who would want to be spared such an embarrassment in front of a gathered community. I mean, you can almost hear Mary kind of lean over to Jesus and whisper, "They have no wine." I mean, you can see that in your mind's eye, right? And now note that Mary doesn't ask Jesus to fix the problem. She simply tells her boy, "Got no wine." And Jesus responds cryptically, "What do you want me to do about it? Is this you? Or my hour has not yet come." huh? You gotta scratch your head. How does Jesus' response relate to Mary's statement? And then Mary instructs the servants, do whatever he tells you. Why? Jesus just said, so what? Basically. About the lack of wine. And now Mary tells the servants to do whatever Jesus tells them. I mean, how does this sequence of events fit together? It's almost like I want to send the transcript back to John and say, you're missing some helping verbs in here or something, you know? There's something redacted wrong. But then Jesus does instruct the servants. And suddenly, the problem that he said was not his problem, he now makes it his problem. And the servants follow Jesus' directions, and the crisis is averted. Wine flows in abundance. I mean, really good wine flows in abundance, and only Mary and Jesus and the servants know its source. And the party keeps going, and Jesus' glory is revealed to the brand new disciples who believed in Jesus as a result. I got a lot of questions about this story. I want to know who's getting married. You know, Kathy's trained me well. Ask questions, right? Why was Jesus invited? Did the disciples know the bride and groom too? Did Mary know Jesus would do something about the lack of wine, or was she simply making an observation? Why did Jesus change his mind about taking action to fix the issue? Did the servants tell anybody what happened? Did the disciples see the sign or just hear about it later and then believe? And why did Jesus do this miracle as his first sign? I mean, the miracle seems trivial when you compare it to healing people and feeding 5,000 and raising someone from the dead. I think you got to ask yourself, was running out of wine really an emergency that needed divine intervention? Someday, maybe. Someday, maybe. But given that the disciples believed in Jesus as a result of the sign, how does this reading about it now impact our belief in Jesus? The first sign gives us insight into Jesus' character and his ministry. So let's think about that ministry. Jesus attends a wedding. The Son of Man, having called his first disciples on the cusp of his public ministry, attends a wedding. Does he not have more urgent matters to address? As he has come to save the world, but he takes time to attend a wedding with his mom and his first followers. I mean, I'm so thankful for this scene because you think about it, it reminds us of our own life's milestones. They matter to Jesus. They matter. Weddings and births, graduations, birthdays, anniversaries, funerals, reunions, gatherings of family and friends and hospital visits, and procedures, they're all holy occasions. God is present, marking the transition and remembering the setbacks and rejoicing in the hard-won progress and enhancing the celebration, even when we do not note his presence and contributions. This first sign reminds us that Jesus marks our milestones with us. The first sign reminds us that Jesus acts, not just in big, expansive redemption of the world ways, but in the daily exchanges of life. What caused him to change his mind at the wedding? Perhaps he was moved by his mom's concern, or maybe he looked around and decided, yeah, I could do something. And so he did something. Or maybe he thought it was helpful for those followers to know that their intuition about him was well-founded. And it could be that he thought that the servants needed to witness. They needed to witness a miracle as they went about their demanding work. And regardless of why, Jesus did an act that day in Cana. He intervened in ways that brought joy. And Jesus still acts in life-giving, joy-evoking ways. Jesus saves the world, and Jesus cares for each of us, and we too witness the miracles that bolster our faith at just the right moment. The Lord of all intervenes and intercedes and acts on our behalf. And we believe this because of his actions at the wedding at Cana. The first sign shows us that Jesus is not miserly or calculating. He does not seek out the person responsible for the wine. He didn't need to know who didn't order enough wine, who made the mistake. He doesn't ponder if the hosts are worthy of this fine wine. He doesn't just turn enough water into just drinkable wine. His generosity is over the top. Over the top. And he turns all the filled to the brim jugs of water into good wine. I have to wonder what it would be like for us. What it would be like for us to have that outlook, to have that mindset, to have that kind of process, that way of thinking in our church meetings, in our committee meetings, in our worship services, in our church outside of Sunday. We do church the other 6 days of the week, right? Church on Wednesday. Church on Tuesday mornings. In our relationships with others, what would it be like to be over the top? What would it be like in our conversations about giving? What if we didn't do the bare minimum, but sought to go over the top to the point that it might even look excessive? With our compassion and our love and our sharing, Jesus is grace upon grace upon grace. What if we see that first sign like that in Cana? I mean, the first sign reveals to us that Jesus did not seek glory for glory's sake. All he does points to who he is so that others can see and believe in God. It doesn't matter that the whole gathering of people didn't know the source of the story behind this fine wine. The servants knew. The mom knew. The disciples knew. And they believed. And others will believe in time, and some, well, they may refuse to see. But no matter what, Jesus will continue to do the work that his Father sent him to do. And the glory that comes in its wake reveals who he has eyes to see or who does not. I have a lot of questions about this story. But continued within the story are some critical answers about who Jesus is and what his ministry entails. The first sign helps me to believe that Jesus cares deeply about both the moments and the milestones of our lives, the details and the days that we may never forget. Jesus is not only present, but he acts in giving us signs in his grace upon grace. And sometimes we may not recognize the source of the unexpected fine wine, or the compassionate exchange, or the new opportunity, or the longed-for reconciliation. But we we can believe that Jesus intervenes on our behalf and acts in life-giving and joy-evoking ways. Jesus acts with over-the-top generosity towards us. And we may well hoard our forgiveness and hold that close, store it up, store up our wealth for ourselves, or calculate who is worthy of our help. But Jesus does none of that. None of that. He pours himself out. He fills our cups to the point of overflowing, to the brim. He feeds the entire crowd with baskets that are left over. He forgives the very ones who murder him. The first sign is a foreshadowing of all the ministry that will soon follow. A ministry of healing and of feeding and of storm calming and life-giving, grace upon grace upon grace. Friends, disciples then and now see such glory and believe in him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.